Welcome to Federal Insights for December, sponsored by Red River.
One of the most promising areas for the Internet of Things is the medical field. Whether it's remote monitoring or using 3D printing capabilities of living tissue, the IoT healthcare market is poised to create easier access to care for consumers and quicker access to data for healthcare providers. But as with all conveniences, there comes risk. Medical fraud is already a big enough problem without these devices being widely used. How can the government help ensure a safe implementation of them? Well, two agencies are giving it a shot. The Food and Drug Administration and Homeland Security Department are teaming up to implement a new framework for greater coordination and cooperation between the two agencies for addressing cybersecurity in medical devices. To find out how that'll work, Federal News Network's Tom Temin spoke with Suzanne Schwartz, Associate Director for Science and Strategic Partnerships at FDA, and Chris Butera. He's Deputy Director for Cyber Threat Detection and Analysis at the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center.
DHS and FDA have been working together for a number of years on coordinated vulnerability disclosure for medical devices. And what this memorandum really states is it's really formalizing the agreement that we have between FDA and DHS and how we've worked together over the past few years. And with the kind of rising number of vulnerability submissions, we thought it was important to kind of formalize this and elevate the importance of this mission.
And Suzanne, I guess the idea of cyber in medical devices has been a pretty pressing issue now for some time.
Yes, I think it's important to recognize that medical devices today are really no longer standalone boxes. That medical devices, in order to provide the types of extraordinary advances in care, are interconnected and communicating. And that in and of itself raises challenges with respect to the security of the device.
And if you would, just define for us what types of devices are covered. I mean, there are things that are buried in the body. There are things that hang on racks with screens and beeping lights that cluster around hospital beds. What types of devices, what range of instruments are we talking about?
Yeah, exactly. There's a pretty broad spectrum of medical devices that have components within them for which we would be concerned with respect to security. It could be anything from as extensive in terms of capital equipment, such as a CT scan, MRI, ultrasounds, monitors, cardiac monitors, and then in terms of devices that are implanted within the body that patients depend upon as for life-sustaining and life-saving, including pacemakers, implanted defibrillators, insulin pumps, continuous glucose monitors, neuromodulators for pain that are implanted within the spine. So there is really a whole host of equipment or medical devices that range from those that are outside the body and those that are inside the body and those that are connected to the body.
And I guess the implication here, too, is that these are manufactured by a range of companies from very large and sophisticated, such as might be capable of making a CAT scanner, to very specialized, maybe almost startups, for which cybersecurity may not be their primary concern.
Yeah, precisely. I think that the diversity or the heterogeneity that we see within the industry in and of itself represents one of the challenges in that you've got multinational firms that produce the large equipment that also are in other industry verticals. And so they are very mature with respect to security or understand security. And yet at the same time, you have some very, very highly innovative startups where just when you think about the resources alone that that manufacturer may have, they're going to be far more scarce with respect to being able to address security.
And Chris, what does DHS bring specifically to this partnership?
Yeah, so DHS does a lot of work in the vulnerability coordination process. So we sponsor the Common Vulnerabilities Exposures Index, the CVE program that is run by MITRE. We also sponsor and run the National Vulnerability Database, the NVD, which is run by NIST. And then we sponsor a lot of actual coordinated disclosure, specifically for IT vulnerabilities. In 2018, we coordinated over 14,000 IT vulnerabilities. And we also do a lot of work in the industrial control systems and medical device space, which we kind of lump together because they are both impact the health and safety of American citizens. where a vulnerability being exploited in those systems could have some grave consequences. And we actually did coordinated vulnerability disclosure of 800 industrial control systems vulnerabilities and 37 medical device vulnerabilities in 2018. And the medical device numbers were actually doubled over 2017. So we've seen a lot of increased collaboration and coordination with the medical device community and the security researchers in this area.
And in terms of the industrial domains over which DHS has partnerships in the whole cyber realm, and this goes back quite a number of years, where do the medical devices fall? Which vertical are they?
So DHS is responsible for securing 16 critical infrastructure sectors.
I had 17. You just took one away.
So as part of that, the medical devices fall within the healthcare and public health sector.
And let me just ask you this. When you think of a hospital or you think of a medical facility and it has all of these network devices in it, does it have some characteristics in common with SCADA systems that you might find in an industrial factory?
Sometimes. So what we hope is that there's some kind of segmentation between the enterprise IT networks and the medical device networks or devices. In the industrial control systems space, they really look at it as the information technology network and the operational technology network. And so what we hope is that hospitals are putting in the same kind of segmentation, same kind of defense in depth controls that we're asking the industrial control system operators to actually put in place, so that if there is a compromise in the IT enterprise, that compromise cannot spread to the medical devices.
We're speaking with Chris Butera. He's Deputy Director for Cyber Threat Detection and Analysis at the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center at DHS, and Suzanne Schwartz, Associate Director for Science and Strategic Partnerships at the FDA. And Suzanne, how will this work operationally? Will people from DHS encamp at the FDA campus? A little bit better neighborhood in some cases, or what? I mean, how does it work operationally? Are people assigned full-time? And tell us some of those aspects.
Yes, and as Chris mentioned, the memorandum of agreement that was recently executed formalizes an existing relationship that we've been enjoying with DHS for several years now, and we have ongoing interactions with the specific team, the analyst team that works on medical device vulnerabilities at DHS on a routine basis that allows our team to discuss with DHS what the ongoing issues are, the status of those issues, how we're working on them, discuss the analysis. And it really brings together also the discussions with the researchers' findings, as well as what the manufacturers have discovered as part of their further assessment of the vulnerability.
And this is really a robust industry. There are many competing products for any given class of product. How do you know where to start?
That's a good question. And actually, we find ourselves working through vulnerabilities that are brought to our attention by security researchers. As researchers identify vulnerabilities related to devices, they bring them to the attention of DHS, they'll bring them to the attention of FDA, they'll bring them to the vendor as well, and will work systematically through those vulnerabilities that are brought to our attention. But I think the point you make, though, is really critical in that it's the responsibility of manufacturers to be that much more proactive around monitoring devices and managing the vulnerabilities in those devices through their lifetime.
And Chris, in the context of the healthcare delivery sector, that includes hospitals, which have other business networks in addition to the clinical networks that they operate. And so there's a great deal of knowledge and concentration and technical expertise around, say, protecting medical records. And they don't always succeed, but they put a lot of energy into that. Do you find that in those same types of institutions, the big, I don't want to name anybody, but the big medical networks, and there are some big ones, including VA, do they have the expertise in medical device cyber that they also have for, say, electronic health records cyber and financial records cyber?
Well, I'd say the expertise is quite different. The medical device records on an information technology term is not much different than a financial record, right? They're both going to be stored in some kind of database. And most IT professionals who have some kind of database knowledge will know how to protect and store and, you know, do any kind of work around those specific records. Medical devices themselves are much more complex. They sometimes have the same components of an IT system. They might have a standard operating system you might find on a regular PC. But they might have quite a few.
But it might be a really old one.
It might be a really old one. It could be some kind of unsupported operating system. They also have some specific communication protocols that could be unique to those systems that your normal system administrator or network administrator might not be familiar with.
That's Chris Butera, Deputy Director for Cyber Threat Detection and Analysis at the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center. You also heard from Suzanne Schwartz, Associate Director for Science and Strategic Partnerships at the Food and Drug Administration. They're speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin. We'll have more from our guests after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
Oh boy. Better get Steve on the line. I think we have a hacker.
Red River reimagines the possibilities of technology. With over 20 years' experience helping federal agencies and commercial enterprises strengthen their security posture, Red River has the expertise and solutions required to identify and remediate security risks to the data and systems that enable your mission. Today's security decisions aren't black and white. Think red. Visit redriver.com to learn more.
We continue our interview with Suzanne Schwartz, Associate Director for Science and Strategic Partnerships at the Food and Drug Administration, along with Chris Butera, Deputy Director for Cyber Threat Detection and Analysis at the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center. They're speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin.
I guess the follow-up question then would be, how robust, or does it exist at all, is the convergence, or does that need to happen within an institution, that is to say the knowledge and protective qualities for the device end and for all the other ends of things? Is that like a hospital CISO job or what?
So I would say that not only is there a need for a convergence within an institution as far as really being able to work in a more integrated manner and in a more knowledgeable manner with respect to security, medical devices, the biomed engineering, the clinical component, but not only within an organization, but across the ecosystem at large. And I think that there is real opportunity in terms of growing the skill set and the expertise within this area, where there really is a dearth of individuals around who possess a very comprehensive or holistic understanding of the challenges around medical devices and securing them. So I think that we're going to see in months and years ahead a very concerted effort to advance that space from a labor perspective. I certainly hope so, because we do need individuals who can really bring that knowledge set and expertise together to help in this area.
Chris, you mentioned some 837, I think if I counted right, vulnerabilities that have been identified in some period of time for devices. Give us a sense of the nature of those vulnerabilities and what the consequences are if they were exploited, and how could they be exploited?
Yeah, so that ranges from all kinds of different industrial control systems to, for example, we saw malware targeting chemical safety systems last year that could disable some of the safety mechanisms that would prevent, for example, an explosion in a chemical plant. Two specific vulnerabilities around any type of medical devices could be an imaging system, could be an insulin pump, could be a whole arrangement of medical devices. And what we've seen is, especially in the medical device field, is I think we've knocked out some of the low-hanging fruit in terms of the hard-coded kind of administrative credentials that we've seen as some of the earlier vulnerabilities that were reported to us. And now the vulnerabilities that the research community are finding are a little bit more complex. And so with that, what we've seen is it takes a little bit longer to actually patch and mitigate these vulnerabilities in both the industrial control systems and the medical communities. Whereas we try to get medical devices coordinated and patched within 45 to 90 days for the IT side of the house. On the industrial control systems, that averages around 200 days. And in the medical devices, it's a little bit less than a year. So it is quite a bit more complex to actually get these devices patched and coordinated.
Yeah, they don't really have ports like a computer, in other words.
I mean, some of them do have ports, but they aren't necessarily the standard ports that normal system administrators would be familiar with. But yeah, some of them, they're much more complex than a standard computer that everyone is used to and knows how to actually patch and mitigate.
And when you think that a lot of these devices were put onto the market and some of them implanted in patients years ago and without the same degree of security that we would expect to see today, that raises the stakes even much higher. You know, and the complexity is much greater with regard to not only developing that patch, but assuring that when that patch is deployed, that it isn't going to affect the performance of that device in a negative way that can result in patient harm. So there's a lot more to consider in that regard.
Yeah, these devices, I guess, are often used because they are networked. They become almost Internet of Things types of arrangements. And so the data from them really matters. And each and every one has to be accurate and reliable.
Yeah, and in certain devices, sometimes you kind of make sure that, you know, confidentiality is more important sometimes. Sometimes integrity is more important. And in a lot of places, availability is more important. And this is one of the areas where it's really hard to fight that triad in terms of which one is more important, because you don't want the patient's medical records or information from these devices to be leaked out in an unexpected manner. You want to make sure that the doctors are getting the accurate readings from these devices. And you also want to make sure they're available in the life-saving situations that we actually need these devices to function. So it's really important for all three of those functions to be working as intended at all times.
We're speaking with Chris Butera. He's Deputy Director for Cyber Threat Detection and Analysis at the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center, and Suzanne Schwartz, the Associate Director for Science and Strategic Partnerships at the FDA. What is the danger here, you know, principally? Because there's lots of lurid stories about, you know, somebody hacking in and shutting off grandma's ventilator and that kind of thing. Or is it more a privacy issue, or is it more a patient safety issue in terms of simply having things shut down? I mean, what are the real dangers in this IoT type of environment for medical devices?
Well, from FDA's perspective, in keeping with our mission, which is one to protect and promote the public health, we're going to be most concerned about safety and how, if a device is impacted, if a vulnerability is actually exploited, what are the consequences of that? Not to diminish the privacy concerns, but privacy is lesser of an issue for us as opposed to that the device is able to perform the function.
That's your mission.
I'm sorry?
That's your mission.
Yes, yes. The device should be able to perform what its intended function is. So whether it is a WannaCry type of an attack, a cyber campaign that renders a device inoperable, that's of concern. You know, patients come to the hospital, they expect that the CT scan or an MRI is going to be functional, and at times the dependence upon that device is critical in terms of them being able to deliver the next level of care. We're also concerned about the potential for the kinds of attacks that could result in harm to multiple patients as a result of, you know, a deliberate exploit of a device. So for us, it is about the safety and the performance of that device.
That's Suzanne Schwartz, Associate Director for Science and Strategic Partnerships at FDA. She's joined by Chris Butera, Deputy Director for Cyber Threat Detection and Analysis at the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center. One more break, and then we'll continue our interview. I'm Eric White.
Oh, boy. Better get Steve on the line. I think we have a hacker.
Red River reimagines the possibilities of technology. With over 20 years' experience helping federal agencies and commercial enterprises strengthen their security posture, Red River has the expertise and solutions required to identify and remediate security risks to the data and systems that enable your mission. Today's security decisions aren't black and white. Think red. Visit redriver.com to learn more.
You're listening to our interview with Chris Butera, Deputy Director for Cyber Threat Detection and Analysis at the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center, along with Suzanne Schwartz, Associate Director for Science and Strategic Partnerships at the Food and Drug Administration, speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin.
And given this partnership that you have established, what are your measures of success going to be?
That's a good question. I think that we've already seen some measure of success, even prior to executing the partnership in a formal manner, and that Chris pointed out that there have been many more disclosures of vulnerabilities around medical devices that have occurred in 2017 and going into 2018. And I think that that is testimony to the ability for us to be able to work together and to bring the researchers as well as the manufacturers to the table. The idea of transparency and of this kind of sharing of information in a coordinated manner is really critical to being able to better safeguard the public. And continuing to be able to do that is going to be critical. I think that one of our targets that I share with Chris is, how do we start to shrink? How do we start to compress the time frame that it takes to go through this coordinated disclosure, recognizing really the challenges that we said that are somewhat unique to devices and to healthcare? But we all have that desire to see us go from a year down to 6 months, down to 3 months. In fact, that's something that we included in our guidance, in our policy framework, of really wanting to incentivize manufacturers to be able to fully assess the vulnerability, mitigate the potential risk there for exploit, and communicate around that in a period of 30 to 60 days. That's ambitious, but I think that we can get there with time.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we're really trying to reach the whole of the community. So that starts with the security researchers, and I think we've really made some strides there in terms of the number of security researchers who are actually paying attention to and trying to find vulnerabilities in medical devices today is far greater than it was 5 years ago. And so I think we've already achieved some measure of success there, and we're looking to continue to get more researchers interested in this. And because the United States government can't do this without the private sector and security researchers helping us in this. As Suzanne said, working with industry and trying to get them to shorten the patch cycle, but also trying to get them to build these devices with security in their mind from the start. It's a lot easier if you build the devices in a secure manner than to try to lock on security at the end of the life cycle process. But understanding with these devices as well as IoT devices that these devices have to be able to be patched in an efficient manner. You have to have a team of software developers or engineers who are as part of your team, not just to develop the product, but to maintain that product for a number of years after that product is released. And the last piece is trying to get industry to pay attention to our vulnerability disclosures and to try to make sure that they're securing their environment and taking medical device cybersecurity very seriously and patching them when they have access to patch them and putting other controls in place around these devices and treating them like they are the high value assets in their organization.
Chris Butera is Deputy Director for Cyber Threat Detection and Analysis at the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center. You also heard from Suzanne Schwartz, Associate Director for Science and Strategic Partnerships at the Food and Drug Administration, speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin. You can find this entire interview on our website. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insight of the Month. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for December, sponsored by Red River on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
Oh boy. Better get Steve on the line. I think we have a hacker.
Red River reimagines the possibilities of technology. With over 20 years' experience helping federal agencies and commercial enterprises strengthen their security posture, Red River has the expertise and solutions required to identify and remediate security risks to the data and systems that enable your mission. Today's security decisions aren't black and white. Think red. Visit redriver.com to learn more.